You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve?
They're demons.
Experience the excitement, the danger.
But it would be slightly more difficult to pull off now, though, don't you think?
Ghosts and ghouls, saints and angels, suspicious murders, bombshell blondes, and tough-talking detectives. The raven's haunting cry and a dead man's beating heart. This is the Noir and Bizarre, a new original WYPR podcast about the dark and the mysterious, buried history and forgotten lore. I'm Katie Marquette, your host, and each month we'll be exploring a new occult phenomenon. I'm actually the most scared person in a movie theater during a horror movie, and I really hate gory slasher films. But I do have some credentials as host. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Alfred Hitchcock films, David Lynch, and being a native Baltimorean, I of course have a thing for Edgar Allan Poe. So this podcast isn't about proving or disproving ghosts or psychics or UFOs. It's about uncovering buried history, about digging a little deeper into the darkest, strangest stories we tell ourselves about human existence. On this first episode.
I know why we try to keep the dead alive. We try to keep them alive in order to keep them with us. I also know that if we are to live ourselves, there comes a point at which we must relinquish the dead, let them go, keep them dead. Let them become the photograph on the table. Let go of them in the water.
That was one of my favorite writers, Joan Didion, reading from her memoir, The Year of Magical Thinking. She wrote it right after her husband, John Gregory Dunn, died suddenly. I got to thinking about how we handle a person's death, how a lot of times we can't help but go on talking to them. Maybe you give them an update now and then, or maybe you ask them for some advice during a tough time. But how surprised would you be, how scared would you be, if they talked back?
So hi, Chris, come on in, and ultimately you'll be sitting
testing.
There as a quiet observer. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to expect when my husband and I show up at Casey's house.
Let me just see. If you could just talk a little bit.
Hi, my name is Casey Lane, psychic medium. I work out of a room in my home. I have a special room that I consider very serene. I've used feng shui to make sure it's a very quiet, serene environment for the clients, since many of them are bereaved and upset, and I like it to be a tranquil room for
them to
relax in.
It is a really nice room. Softly lit, cozy, and warm. Casey is a medium. Mediums say they can break down the walls between the dead and the living, that spirits can talk through them. She calls herself the Baltimore medium. Casey had agreed to let me sit in on a reading. She told me she often reads for 5 or more people each day and that her waiting list is pages long. So needless to say, when she offered a free reading on her website, people were jumping at the chance.
I knew I had an ability most of my life from a young child forward. I knew I was different in a way. I didn't know it ran in the family until Aunt Katie's daughters came up to me at my mother's brother's funeral and informed me about my grandmother's sister's ability.
Her family history is a bit convoluted, but to sum up, she comes from a long line of mediums in Ireland. Wise women, healers, witches, they've had a lot of names, and she takes her gift very seriously. We continue to sit and talk while we wait for the client. Casey has never met her, and neither have I.
Well, I think a guest is here.
Katie and her husband Chris are here already. So your seat is going to be over here. Plus for me. This is Katie and Chris.
Hi, Katie. Nice to meet you.
This is Lindsay, our client for the evening. So have a seat and relax. There's some cold water for everybody. But just to reiterate, I don't know you.
Correct.
Didn't ask you for any information up front.
Correct.
And that's kind
of Lindsay funny. Is a woman in her mid-20s. She's never been to a medium before. Casey begins the session by laying down some groundwork. She has a few rules and caveats.
I have no idea when anyone's soul is going to transition off the earth from one dimension to the other. I believe that sacred data that is in your soul contract before you ever come to earth, that the Creator has that date in your plan, but I wouldn't know it, and I wouldn't speculate on it. All psychic predictions are speculative, although I believe I'm probably, on average, 80% accurate on all aspects of a reading. And I also will not accuse anyone of a crime because, again, I'm...
She has a flipboard on an easel. I almost want to laugh because it seems a little like school. She's written on the pages in colored markers. One page looks like a Venn diagram, and it shows the relationship between dimensions.
Here's how I try to explain how this works. I believe that I've been assigned a guides and angels team that I work with that facilitate the transfer of information across dimensions. And then the other side of the equation is there's a different dimension of energy our loved ones reside on, and the information gets transferred back and forth. And again, I'm the receiver, the translator. I'll go into this more, but I do believe that you still like to drink and smoke on the other side. It seems to be a bit of a party version of Earth, but again, that's a little further in the presentation.
A party version of Earth, a description of the afterlife I've admittedly never heard before. So after some more explanations and clarifications, the actual reading begins. Casey is flipping big, colorful tarot cards on the table. One of them makes us all jump.
Oh, that card. Don't let that card. I know, there's one card in the tarot. I know, I see your face, the death card. And remember I said there's never any predictor of physical departure off Earth? That card means an ending, creating a new beginning. It is not a predictor of someone leaving Earth.
Even though I don't know if I even believe in spirits, I feel very tense. Chris, my husband, and I exchange glances across the table as Casey starts to notice a pattern in the letters she's writing down on her notepad.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the pattern is that we're getting. So when you have there's patterns to these letters of the names that are acknowledged. So when you start getting like the sibling letter is acknowledged and then your mother's letter is acknowledged, usually means there's a grandparent probably trying to come through, maybe on your mother's side,
okay.
Potentially.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, that's what I would pick up. Like, is your mother's mother off the earth? Or
Yeah.
I'm picking her up strongly since,
really?
Yeah. She's been here, I think, since you've been here. And what she's saying with these letters is she's saying a couple things. Mm-hmm. She's saying hello to your mother.
Okay.
That's her daughter.
Yeah.
She's saying hello to your brother, because that's her other grandchild. Oh, absolutely. And then you just met Matt since she's been gone, right? Did she know him?
No.
Yeah, well, that's her acknowledgement of this is her viewing your life on Earth.
Okay.
Matt is Lindsay's boyfriend. He came up earlier in the reading when Casey was reading tarot cards. Apparently the family, the departed family members, that is, approve of him and want Lindsay to know.
Was she a creative type at all?
Mm-hmm.
Did she like to knit or sew? Or,
yep.
Yeah, because she's got those activities going on still.
She would dress me. I would do it in a heartbeat now, but I used to sit there and just let her make dresses for me all day long.
Well, she's still got her sewing thing, I think, going on. Yeah. And that's commonly what I see as a medium. People convey their pastimes into the next earthly dimension, that 80-year rest period between lives of learning on Earth. And they're just over there having fairly mundane existence, other than you don't have any work or stress.
Okay.
But you'll take your pastimes with you. So your grandmother likes sewing still.
Yeah.
And she visits you a great deal. She knows about your M name, the new boyfriend, and she likes them, I think. You know, they do that little thumbs up thing.
Yeah.
I would interpret that she's happy that you're happy.
Casey believes that lives on Earth are lives of learning. All suffering we go through is meant to teach us something. So when you die, you don't need to suffer anymore. You can enjoy your hobbies and your passions pain-free. Some people will be born again. She thinks it's about 80 years between lives. But she didn't clarify what happens to those not born again or why we're here in the first place. Something Casey explained during the presentation earlier on is that in the afterlife, there is no language. She communicates with the dead with symbols. A thumbs up means they're happy. A bouquet of balloons means they're celebrating, and so on. Courtney, Lindsay's cousin, is the next to show up.
If you go around Valentine's Day, is there anything relevant in your family in February, or in her life, or anyone else's?
I have to say, like, a lot of people passed away in a short amount of time, but I believe my cousin passed away in February, two years ago.
And is over there on the other side?
Yeah.
And had you asked the cousin to be here today?
I asked everyone.
Oh, you did?
Sorry.
Did that person... Oh, that's okay. I should have told you to limit it to three. But, all right.
I was just walking away.
No, I mean, that's fine. It gives us a lot of people to pull upon. So did the person leave very suddenly when they left the earth? Did her heart stop? Or yeah, her heart just stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she says she was a big partier, mm-hmm. and she still likes a good time.
I bet.
Yeah, so she's having a good time over there. As I said, it's a huge party level. People love to, and people. This is the other place where clients look at me very quizzically, mm-hmm. that smoking, drinking, gambling, I think, are the top three things I see people doing on that dimension.
Yeah.
Casey again emphasizes the absolute party world that the afterlife is. And evidently, Lindsay's cousin, a big partier, is having a great time. The fact that there is so much partying on the other side is good news for KC. She's an ex-smoker, and sometimes she can get a nice contact high.
She's a smoker there, I can tell you. And you know, I actually love it when they smoke on the other side, because I get the sensation to live vicariously through that feeling, even though I can never have another cigarette on Earth, because I'm addicted to them. And I haven't smoked in real time on Earth in 9 years, but I kind of vicariously smoke through these sessions, and the people smoking on the other side, I sometimes think they're smoking because they know I like it. But yeah, she smokes, I think she drinks, and they actually smoke a lot of weed on that side too.
Probably does.
Mm-hmm. I think she does. I don't know if there is any other drugs there, but I know they have those things.
Okay, yeah.
A new person shows up, Uncle Harry. He was Lindsay's father's best friend, considered a member of the family. Casey tells Lindsay she thinks Harry and Lindsay's father are soul brothers that go back to the Middle Ages.
The other thing Harry talks about is there's some shared name thing that he brings up, too.
Yeah. Their whole family has Harrys and Jerrys.
So his father or someone with a shared name must be with him is normally what they're conveying when they give you the shared name symbol.
Yeah. Yeah, my Aunt Teresa's dad was named Jerry, and his dad was named Harry.
So he's with his father, I think, what he's trying to reference.
Yeah.
And
I didn't really know him that well, but...
Earth, to me, during the course of the session, Lindsay is visited by two sets of grandparents, a cousin, and an uncle. They all send good wishes and say they are all happy, pursuing their earthly passions in the afterlife. Lindsay gets quite emotional during the hour, and when Casey wraps up, I turn to Lindsay to ask her impressions.
It was awesome. You know, like I said, I've been talking to people all week, everyone. I didn't do the minimum of three, but, I mean, they all came through, and I feel like I can go back and to my family and, like, give them some answers, especially with my Uncle Harry. That was, like, the biggest one, so, for my aunt. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
I didn't go to Casey's to prove or disprove her medium abilities. Honestly, I was just curious. I'm one of those people that is always a little tempted to go inside when I pass one of those neon flashing signs, psychic readings here. So going to see Casey and having her be such a welcoming host was a really great experience. And whether or not I believed that she actually contacted Lindsay's loved ones ended up not mattering so much to me. Lindsay was so happy after the session. After all, she left thinking these people who passed away were okay, that they went on living somewhere, somehow, and that they were happy for her, and that they still loved her. In this way, it was sort of like a therapy session. I think I was also struck by how normal the whole thing was. No shaking tables, no crystal balls. So, are there really ghosts? Are spirits really talking to us? Is there a hole, a gap, between dimensions? I still don't know. What I do know is that the human need to connect with the dead is deep and lasting. Whether we're praying to saints and lighting candles for the departed, or visiting psychic mediums and flipping tarot cards, we want to believe the veil between life and death is a thin one. That maybe, just maybe, under the right circumstances, the dead can talk to us just one more time. And stay tuned for the next episode of The Noir and Bizarre.
They invited me to play with the Ouija board, so I brought it up to my parents saying, hey, can I play with this board? All my friends are doing it. It sounds like fun, talking to the dead. And my parents were definitely against it. How they thought about it was that it was seen as a sin.
My instructions to stay away from it didn't so much come from my parents, but it came from my school administrators. I went to a very small Christian school growing up. We were told that things like the Ouija board and playing certain games, like scary games like Bloody Mary and things like that, could open up a portal and bring things in, like demons, and sort of mess with your spirit.
the human condition has not changed ever. We are still the same animals we've always been. And because there's a few reasons, think about why you'd pick up a Ouija board and play in the first place. And be serious about it, not just for fun, but to try to reach out to someone. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of consciousness, people have been asking what's on the other side. When this person dies, where do they go? What's going to happen to me?
The Noir and Bizarre is an original WYPR production, hosted and produced by me, Katie Marquette. Until next time, thanks for listening.